Welcome to Sunday Sermons and other recordings from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, California. Please visit our website at www.uudavis.org for further information.
Hola, buenos dias. Me llamo Lily Roberts. I am your worship associate today.
Lily had the great idea that we should look at languages for how to say hello in from the countries that are experiencing the most diaspora. And so Spanish came up as the first language of those speaking who need to leave their countries. So I'm going to invite you to...
The welcome is from Alexis Engelbrecht from the Soul Matters team. Welcome to this community of seekers, of questioners, and of those open to the revelation that comes from the experiences with one another and the spirit of life. May we remember that while we have some answers, we don't have all the answers. While we know some things, we don't know everything. And while we have lived, others have experiences very different from our own. Welcome to this community, full of questions and possibilities.
To acknowledge all that is being held by the people in this room, we light one pillar candle for the sorrows that are held in this world. And we light one pillar candle for the joys, the moments of hope, the moments of celebration. And now let us join together in centering through music.
This morning, I'm inviting Pat Moore Pickett to light the chalice. Pat shared with me that she feels like she is doing mother's work today and is grateful for the resource of UU Rise. May this flame, symbol of transformation since time began, fire our curiosity, strengthen our wills, and sustain our courage as we seek what is good within and around us.
The Mother's Day that we celebrate now in 2019 is a result of different sources of appreciation and admiration for mothers and justice in our society. Before the Civil War, Mother's Friendship Day was when women gathered together to learn how to take care of their children. They shared ideas of what meant to have a healthy family. And after the Civil War in West Virginia, Ann Reeves Jarvis continued to use these groups, but in a new way. They became an important unifying presence in communities where both Union and Confederate mothers and soldiers lived in close proximity. The Mother's Day gatherings provided opportunities to promote reconciliation among the mothers and the soldiers who had survived the war. And you may have seen that it was one of the most devastating wars our country had ever, even to today, experienced. In 1870, the Mother's Day Proclamation was written by Julia Ward Howe. And it is a scathing proclamation against war. Part of it says, "Our sons shall not be taken from us. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe out dishonor, nor violence indicate possession." She writes that men should not answer the summons of war, and this was a time when only men went to war, but have a day of counsel with the women and sit down and discuss the losses that would happen because of war. This council, she hoped, would allow for more peace for the human family. It was the daughter of Anne Reeves Jarvis who advocated for a National Mother's Day. She felt that many of the national holidays recognized the accomplishments of men. And after the death of her mother, she wanted a national recognition of the sacrifices and the achievements of women, especially thinking about this opportunity for reconciliation with mothers and surviving sons through that war. In the 1960s, Coretta Scott King used Mother's Day to highlight underprivileged women and children and their needs. And in the 1970s, the holiday provided an opportunity to rally for equal rights for women and the rights of children. So it is right that we honor those who have cared for and nurtured us, honored all who are committed to the care of children in our society. So yes to the flowers, and yes to the brunches or the breakfasts in bed, which I never quite understood as a great thing. That never turned out well in my family. Yes to the chocolate and the cards expressing love. Yes. And know that Mother's Day has a very different and important layer of meaning. The unifying message of all the sources of Mother's Day is the sacrifice for family. So as Unitarian Universalists, we honor loving parents of those of all gender identities and sexual orientations. And we honor the diversity of families in our world, including the family of one, and teachers, and all those who assist our families. We are more than the nuclear unit. Our Mother's Day service is about mothers and all parents who have made ultimate sacrifices for their families. We are naming and honoring those who have left their homes to seek asylum in our country and in this community. When a person flees their country because they live in fear of their life and the lives of their family, when they are being persecuted because of their identity in their own country, if they fear being tortured or being killed because of their religious group, their race, their nationality, any specific social group, their political opinion, and when there is no protection for them within their country, if the only solution is escape, and they present themselves at our border, they can apply. They can apply for amnesty. This excerpt from a poem called Home, and we have read this here in this worship service, but perhaps about a year and a half ago, by Warsan Shire, a British Somali poet. Just excerpts. No one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark. You only run for the border when you see the whole city running as well. You have to understand, no one puts their children in a boat unless the water is safer than the land. She writes, I want to go home, but home is the mouth of a shark. Home is the barrel of a gun. No one leaves home unless home is the damp voice in your ear saying, leave, leave, run now. This is a message that starts with despair, maybe a strange message for us to think about on Mother's Day, but it ends with an opportunity for us to be a source of hope, and that is a message of Mother's Day. Our congregation has made a really strong commitment to create safe community for those who come to this country for safety and well-being. And so it is right that we hear these stories and learn more on this Mother's Day. We are also Megan Kelly, because she is home having lost her voice to one of those awful illnesses going around.
So here I am as Megan. In October of 2017, over 70 members of this congregation unanimously voted to become a sanctuary congregation. Our sanctuary declaration is a commitment to create a safer community for those who live in our country without citizenship. Some are promises to ourselves and the community include raising funds to support undocumented immigrant communities. We promise to support SPEAK, a UC Davis student group of undocumented students and their allies. We committed ourselves to offer our gifts to the UC Davis AB 540 and Undocumented Center that provides resources for undocumented students and their families. Hopefully my throat's not going to give out. The Immigration Justice Team has led our congregation in many projects, including advocating for funds for legal services for immigrant residents of Yolo County. The Immigration Justice Team is also co-hosting a fundraiser for the California UU Justice Ministry on May 11th. Through this fundraising effort, UUCD will be supporting a voice for justice in California in the Pacific Central District. I think that date's wrong.
Anyway,
the Immigration Justice Team is also currently raising funds for the Families Together Project. The goal is to raise $10,000, which will cover 6 months of rent for the two families seeking asylum and living in Davis. Other work being done by the Immigration Justice Team includes convening educational opportunities for UUC and community, including a session on border trip opportunities and a speaker on humanitarian work at the border.
It's clear that the Immigration Justice Team is taking the charge very seriously. We included in our commitment, as important as any contribution of money or time, and we agreed to bring a specific attitude of curiosity, humbleness, and a desire to learn about justice. It reads, and this is the declaration, to continue to listen, learn, and work as individuals and as a congregation to promote justice, allowing the needs and the visions and voices of the communities with whom we work to guide us. We agreed to listen and not assume we are the expert about the needs of others. This congregation committed to upholding this work and other work relating to immigration justice in our hurting world. And we are not alone. The Unitarian Universalist Association, or the UUA, is an international association of congregations of which this church is a part. The UUA is doing immigration justice work all over the country and internationally. We are part of a web of workers working to bend the arc of justice closer to the world that many of us wish to see. One way the UUA does this work is through a campaign called Love Resists. Love Resists helps to support and grow sanctuary cities, communities, and locations. And they provide accompaniment for asylum seekers, helping lower deportation rates and lowering bond rates to be released when arrested, and keeping more undocumented families together. Love Resists also values the work of those from local communities within this country and internationally. They work with organizations that politically organize to influence often local conditions in many countries. The work of fighting injustice and supporting each other and ourselves is only possible when many come together to do it. So it's right that on Mother's Day, one of the days when we honor parenting, we recognize the sacrifice that parents have made to their families.
Guatemala is a country with a spectacular history. There are Mayan ruins in the lowlands that date back to the 8th century. These ruins demonstrate the great knowledge and skills of the ancient Maya civilization. Today, Guatemala has the largest population of any Central American country. It differs from its neighboring countries because of its ethnic and language diversity. Nearly half of the Guatemalan population is Mayan, who speak 21 different dialects. During the Civil War that began in 1960, indigenous Maya peoples were targeted by the Guatemalan army. Then in 1981 to 83, the army engaged in acts of genocide, destroying 440 villages and killing 150,000 Maya people. In the 1980s, the U.S. denied asylum to most Guatemalans seeking refuge until a class action lawsuit was brought by sanctuary supporters. The court ordered the government to reconsider 250,000 applications for asylum. The peace accord of 1996 ended this civil war. However, the rich business folks stopped much-needed tax reforms. Thus, the new Guatemalan government was left with insufficient resources to deal with massive unemployment, organized crime, and the impact of climate change. Since 2010, there have been several devastating hurricanes and a major earthquake in the region. Post 9/11, the U.S. deported tens of thousands of convicted criminals back to Central America. This led to increased violence by gangs. Crimes against women have increased significantly. Guatemala has one of the highest rates of murder of women and girls in the world. Guatemala shares its northern border with Mexico, and these two countries have had a long history of free-floating movement across their borders. Traveling from Guatemala through Mexico to the United States had been common among Guatemalan men seeking work in the U.S. to send money home. Today's migration from Guatemala is composed of families, newborns, children, and pregnant women seeking escape from life and death situations. Unaccompanied minors are seeking asylum from forced gang recruitment, while women and girls are fleeing rape and murder. Those who remain in Guatemala suffer from gang violence that extends across borders. The people targeted may never be completely safe from the reach of gangs, no matter what country offers them asylum. In 2019, U.S. border detention centers are overflowing and apprehensions are increasing. The conditions in these centers, as we have seen, are appalling. And yet, asylum seekers who were interviewed said that being apprehended in the U.S. was less scary than the dangers faced in Guatemala. Less scary. What would we do for children in our care? What would we do to save our own life or the life of a beloved? It is right that on Mother's Day, one of the days when we honor parenting, we recognize the sacrifice that parents have made for their families.
One of the things that came out of the research done by both Megan and Lily was that each country has different reasons for why people are fleeing. But these are specific to Guatemala, and it's so complicated. And the United States is the cause for many of those reasons historically. And so we hold a great deal of guilt as a country. I invite you into a time of prayer and meditation. Spirit of life and love, of mothers and all parents whose primary focus in life is the well-being of their children. Remember the sacrifices that have been made in our lives by those who have parented us. And imagine the sacrifices that must have come from the life circumstances we've heard about today, and the ones we cannot imagine, because it is likely that our lives have not been fragile in this same way. Spirit of life and love, may we be aware to the ways that we can help each other that are sometimes easily known and are simple. And sometimes we have to wait to learn what is really needed and to listen for what is ours to do. Those who are wise in giving know that growing hope involves this care. Each of us is a part of an intricate web of relationships. When one of us celebrates a joy or grieves a loss, the web of life moves to a new shape. We are a part of the turn of the earth, the shift of the stars, the pull of the sea, and all change.
Thus, I've learned this means, this means hello in Chuuk, which is one of the Mayan dialects. Remember last year when our hearts were broken by the images and sounds, of crying toddlers forcibly taken from their mother's arms at the border due to this federal zero-tolerance policy of family separation? Imagine the plight of a separated six-year-old girl only able to speak Chuuk, and having to figure out within detention how to communicate, how to find her family, how to represent herself in court without her mother's help. 2,600 children were lost in this system. Some of them have not yet been found. Remember the stories brought back by the activists who visited the border at these detention centers, hearing their mothers' cries, "Where are our children?" and the promises made to them, "We will not forget you." Out of the 400 families who had been caught up in those separations and then deportations, 29 have now been able to return and have been admitted to seek asylum, thanks to a court ruling overturning that family separation policy, and thanks to the assistance of Al Otro Lado, a legal aid team in Los Angeles. And they reached out to the Church of St. Martin to help with sponsoring two families who are now in Davis. The application for asylum is a lengthy process, taking a year or more, during which they're not allowed to work, so they need significant support. And to protect the privacy of those families and the sponsors, I will just quote a sponsor in Seattle who has sponsored another of these families, and that family was already featured in the news. Sarah Riggio is a stay-at-home mom and a devout Catholic. She found out about a Honduran family on a Facebook post and decided that her family had to act. They had a spare room in their home. When we first heard the news of the family separations taking place at the border, we were absolutely sickened by it, Riccio said by phone. Having five children of our own, I cannot imagine being separated from one of my children. We felt that our faith compelled us to open our home and do whatever possible to help the families that were separated at the border. Our UU faith also compels us to make good on promises made, to be a sanctuary congregation, to support and not forget, to honor the worth and dignity of every person. We are now part of an interfaith network here in Davis to support these families, spearheaded by the Church of St. Martin, whose program, Families Together Project, has assembled support teams, taught the family how to ride bikes, arranged for ESL classes, medical care, and arranged for housing. Imagine how it would feel to a child who had been lost in detention, unable to communicate, and then found again, now back with family, going to school, riding bikes, playing soccer in AYSO. How gratifying it is to be part of a helping team to help them find a place of safety and a new normal. The UU Immigration Justice Team and I hope you will join us in support of this family, these families. And as Megan had written, we have a goal. We've set a goal of trying to raise between now and Father's Day $10,200, which seems a lot until you think about that 6 months' rent. We thank you for the generosity you've already shown. We've already raised more than $5,600, which is more than halfway there. So we can do this. Details are in the bulletin and we'll be out by the table. We'll be happy to answer questions. And one might be, how do I write out a check for this? This is a check to the Church of St. Martin with Families Together Project in the memo line. And I thank you so much for all the generosity you've shown so far.
We extinguish the pillar candle symbolizing our sorrows. May they be lightened. We extinguish the pillar candle of joys. May they continue to spread and grow. And extinguish the flame of the chalice. May we bring brightness, compassion, and joy to the world.
I invite you to take hands around the room. And yay for Chris. Thank you. A hand or a shoulder, anything that's comfortable. The mothers who lived generations ago knew the sacrifice that comes from love, and parents today know it too. One world, nations divided, fearful of all that can keep us apart. The promise of love is our blessing and hope, bringing people together and opening hearts. Blessings on mothers who act from love. Blessings on all parents who show their commitment to their families. We support that love. And let this gathering say amen.
Amen.